Hello, friends. I'm Dr. Tim Tootin, the pastor and founder of Harvest Christian Ministries in Baltimore County, Maryland. I just wanted to tell you that I'm so glad you're taking time to listen to this sermon. It is my hope it'll lift your spirits and then motivate you to move out of your comfort zone. Stay tuned now for a message from Harvest Christian Ministries. It's already in progress.
Yes, I'm going to give God the praise. But God. Think about it. Yeah, think about it. Yeah, think about it. Nobody but God. My. Yeah. Yeah, the song says it all. When she start calling the roll, I know you found yourself on the list. I did. But God. Father, we come in the name of Jesus and we thank you for your mercy and for your grace. As we look back on our lives, not just yesteryear, but yesterday, and see all that you've done, we can't help but shout, Lord, thank you. As we come to proclaim your word today, it is your word. May we decrease and may you increase. Save someone today. Encourage another. When this time is done, we'll give your name the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I tell you, there's nothing like good church. Amen. Yeah, I love entertainment, but I love church. Oh, bless the Lord. There's a word from the Lord today, and I'll be sharing from the King James Version, and I'm doing that for a particular reason, which I'll explain later. But there in John 5, 1 through 9, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now long in that case, he said unto him, Will thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked. On the same day was the Sabbath. I want to preach today from the sermonic title, The Edge of Night. The Edge of Night. Throughout my biblical studies, I came across something that really intrigued me within Christendom. It's called the Dark Night of the Soul. The Dark Night of the Soul is a season of spiritual dryness when it seems that God is not near. It seems like we can't connect with Him. We're saved, we're sanctified, we're filled with the Holy Ghost, we come to church, we tithe, we go to Bible study, but there are moments in all of our experiences that we sense a dryness, a dark moment. It was the kind of moment that provoked David to wet his pillow with tears. It was a moment that caused a name to be labeled to Jeremiah, calling him the weeping prophet. Yeah. The late theologian R.C. Sproul calls the dark night of the soul, he calls it spiritual depression that is linked to a crisis of faith. A crisis that comes when one senses the absence of God or gives rise to a feeling of abandonment. Let me just say that. When you think about your own life, if you're honest today, you feel like sometimes there's seasons in life you feel like, God, you don't even hear my prayer. I've been crying about this thing for weeks and weeks, and I've been praying for that person for years and years, and I've been doing my best for, you know, days and days, and seemingly it's a dark night. Now Sproul says it's possible for a Christian to have joy in his heart while there's spiritual depression in his head. But the Bible reminds us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Yeah. It also reminds us that weeping may endure for a night, but thank God that joy cometh in the morning. Yeah. The man in our text today would give anything for a good morning. I want to declare that he was somebody living on the edge of night. But he didn't realize that Jesus, who is the light of the world, was coming his way. He shows up in the region for a religious feast and changes his itinerary to be at the right place at the right time. Isn't it great to know that God will show up in your experience? He may not be on your agenda for the day, but he just pops in long enough to give you everything that you need. He comes by a pool near the sheep market. In the Hebrew, it's called Bethesda, which means pouring out or place of mercy. It is surrounded by covered porches. And the Bible says the people who were there were disabled, blind, lame, paralyzed. Some preachers called it Bethesda General Hospital, Bethesda Outpatient. But they found themselves in a place and they had like concerns and like dilemmas. Can you imagine 38 years? For you, it may have been 38 months, 38 weeks, 38 hours, 38 seconds. But Jesus is able to analyze exactly what's going on. And get this, if he'd been there 38 years, Jesus' ministry started at 33. So really, he had been at the pool longer than Jesus had been in his earthly ministry. But isn't that great that he still shows up and he took notice of the man? And he took no excuses, and it took faith for the man to move from where he was. When he saw him lying there, he knew he had been there for a long time. And he says to them, "Wilt thou be made whole?" It must have been a lot of folk there because the Bible says there were porches. But he raises the question, do you want to get well? Jesus, you know I want to get well. I've been here 30 years. But he asked the question, do you want to get well? He asked the question to us. But Jesus, you know. But do you want deliverance? Yeah. Do you want to be delivered from something you're going through? He asked a question. He notices him there, and he already knew his condition. And when he asked the question, it must have stirred up something in the heart of this man. See, Jesus was a great interviewer. Amen? He would turn the tables and say to you, "Well, what do you want to do?" See, maybe y'all not feeling that. Ever had the Lord just kind of say to you, you've been asking all the questions, but can I throw one at you? Come on. Do you want to transition from that life you're living? Yeah. Do you want to put that bottle down? Yeah. Do you want to put that joint away? Do you want? I could go along the list. Yeah. He asked him the question to a man who's at the edge of night. His situation had been so bad for so long. What question is he asking us? What question have we seemingly ignored? But if it gets bad enough, you will pay attention. If things get tough enough, we will hear the voice of Christ. He notices the man. He shows up at that place. And he's showing up in your experience. That may seem hard to believe when everything around you seems like it's not going to get better. I want to talk to a praying church, as the old pastor would say. I mean, if we're honest today, there's some moments that you say, you know, I just don't know. Will this thing get any better? I become comfortable with this dilemma. But he asked him the question, do you want to be whole? The Lord is speaking to you and I in our dark places. He takes notice of the situation. You know, the Bible talks about in prophecy of Isaiah that there will come a time when the lame will get up and start running and walking. And so Jesus was working on that premise because he knew what was possible. How many know he's a healer?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah. And this man was at the right place at the right time. He took notice of him. He saw him. I got you. But he would not take any excuses. And the reason that you'll find in your modern day translations, the latter part of verse 3 and all of verse 4 is missing from the NIV and some of the other translations. I was really surprised in seminary when I got my first class. It talked about how when they were writing the Bible, somebody may go out and get a smoke and come back in. It may write something in the margin. This is one of those marginal things, because the text you have may not say that when the water was stirred, he needed somebody to get in. Oh, that's just superstition. But you'll see later, it makes sense. He says, I could not get into that water that I believe it contained healing, because nobody would help me. Folk kept cutting line in front of me. That sounds like an excuse. That's when you lessen the blame. It's when you defend or justify. Anybody ever made an excuse before? I don't want to make you lie in church. You say, well, if it hadn't been for my brother, if my neighbor hadn't, if my supervisor hadn't, if my wife, we go on and on making excuses. This man had one. He says, every time the water stirs up, I try my best to get in, but somebody, some bully breaks line. And therefore, for 38 years, he apparently had no friends. Had no ride or die partner. Had no pastor. He had no deacon. Had no choir member. Had nobody from the pastor's aid to get him to the water. And it's good to hang with folk who want to help you. All that time, some folks say, couldn't he just roll down to the water? 38 years and you couldn't just turn and twist and turn and twist. But there's something about God's design. There's some things you can't do in your own power. Even though it may seem logical, it was the right time for Jesus to show up, to pose the question, for the man to make his case that, I don't know. I would have got in. I should have got in. I would have done better. I may have done better, but it was somebody else's fault. I'm blaming someone else. And that's why I find myself at the edge of night. That kind of thinking. What is your excuse today? What is my excuse today? Well, you know, I can talk around it. Well, you know, the situation wasn't conducive. I'm working on that. I'm working toward that. It's in my 5-year goal. But he says, what's the problem? And he gives the excuse. Peter and John are going to the temple to pray. They're in Acts 3 and they come and meet a man who says to them, can you help me out? Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And this brother got up, walked. legs got straight. He was hopping and jumping. But there's something about not blaming, but believing that God is still able to do what you've given up on. He's able to come through on what you've thrown the towel in on. He said, well, Reverend, it's been 12 years. It's been 25 years and nothing has changed. Do you believe God can still change that situation and get you off the edge of your night and bring you joy and bring you peace? Later with excuses, and we all make them. Jesus wasn't trying to hear. Took notice. Took no excuse. But this man, it took some faith for him to do what he did. Jesus said, rise, take up your bed, and walk. And immediately, right away, on the spot, the man was made whole, picked up his bed, and it wasn't no Sealy. It wasn't no Sleep Number. It was some wrapped up straw he'd been laying on all them. Pick up that which you have been familiar with and walk. Get up. Maybe nobody had ever said to him, get up. Maybe you missed the voice of Christ saying to you, move on, do better, do something. He heard it for the first time. He picked up and he moved on. But when I look at the NIV, it says he was healed and then he picked up his bed. So in other words, God may have already done something in your life. You just not picked your bed up. He's already delivered you, but you've not followed instructions and you've not picked up that thing that has been holding you back. And you may say, why in the world do I want to keep this mat? I don't need the mat, man. I'm walking now. But sometimes these are reminders. Your mat reminds you where he's brought you from. Your bed reminds you what he's brought you through. And every now and then, if I were to do a search now, there's something you are carrying that reminds you of where God has brought you from. My God, it might be a scar. It might be a testimony, but you didn't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Some stuff you ought to keep for your testimony. Can you see him now? I got my bed with me. I've got my belief with me. Something has happened, and I'm glad about it. He was obedient. He moved on. And of course, the back part of that text is, when he got to town, he faced some criticism. What in the world are you doing carrying your bed? The same folk who didn't help him. He said, I don't know. I met this man down by the pool who helped me. Amen. And won't he take care of you? Sometimes in life, we have to turn to our faith. Mark 2, the four men who got their friend who was paralyzed, and they helped him out, took him to where Jesus was preaching. It was a sellout crowd. They kicked the roof in, let him down before Jesus, and the man was healed. And it takes effort sometimes to know if you want to get away from the edge of the night, there's something you got to do. There's something you got to pick up and put down. Amen. One day Jesus told his disciples that if you want to follow after me, you got to what? Deny yourself. And pick, there it is again, pick up your cross and follow me. And one day Jesus was at the edge of his night. He picked up his cross and carried it up to the hill toward Golgotha. And that's where he gave up the ghost. An angel came along sometime later and rolled the stone away. But I want to tell you that Jesus is still picking up. He's still picking up behind us and picking up in front of us and picking up for us and picking up in spite of us. You are no longer at the edge of your night. Your breakthrough is on the way. Deliverance is on the way. Your healing is on the way. Your miracle is on the way. Your salvation is on the way. Don't settle to stay on the edge. There's a text where God talks about how the people of Israel were fighting. And he held back the moon and allowed it to be a new daylight saving time. So he kept it light so they could fight their battle. And don't you know, God will change your condition. He will change the atmosphere to allow you to move from the edge of your night. Is there anybody who's tired of being on the edge? Anybody who wants to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling? I just want to say I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. I'm singing glory, hallelujah. Now, you know what? I've been on the edge before. You may not have known it, and I may not have known about your edge. But thank God for Jesus that he stops by and deals with your situation. I can see the man even now. He's walking through the community carrying his bed. He's no longer on the edge. What do you walk with today that reminds you that God can and that God will deliver you? Oh, yes, he will. He deliver you through seen and unseen. I feel my help coming now. Unseen dangers. Won't he do it? Won't he continue to walk with you and talk with you and remind you that you don't need to wait 38 years, but he'll do it right now? Why? He's an on-time God. All the while, you were on the edge between the devil and doubt. The edge of your night. But he comes along and changes everything for you. And now, you see the light. Walking in the light. Jesus is the light of the world. That's the word of God today. It's already blessed. Don't stay there. Don't hang out by the pool. I got a pool pass. No, it's time for you to go. Been there too long. It became a comfortable place after a while. Thank God for Jesus. That brother said, I just got me in my bed. He'll change it for you. Just as you are. He's calling. Come just as you are, no matter where you are. He wants to deliver you from your edge of night. Text, there's a question and a command. Do you want to be made whole? The command is pick up your bed and walk. Today you may find yourself at the edge of night. I come by to tell you there's one who defeated darkness, the devil, hell, and the grave. He's available. Let's bow today. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. And there was a day that we were on one of those five porches, right near that man, not seeing any hope. But one day you stopped by our experience. You just raised the question, what you doing here? You want to do better? Yeah, but I pick up your bed. Pick that thing up that you become so familiar with that's got comfortable for you. Pick it up and walk. Father, we come in now. There might be one today still clinging to the poolside. They don't know you. They've never given their hearts to you. I pray in the name of Jesus that you might stop by their experience and remind them that if they open their mouth confessing that, God, you sent your son Jesus to die for me. The Bible says if you confess that with your mouth and believe it in your heart, that thou shalt be saved. My God, there's deliverance in that. God, we thank you for what you did in this life. Do it even now. You've prayed that prayer, invited him in. You get to leave the pool and head to the palace. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a praise today. Amen. Amen. We bless the Lord today.
Thanks so much for listening. I want to tell you about a couple of other ways you can be inspired. Of course, by CD, but you can also listen to our sermons on the website we have for you. It's www.cometoharvest.org. That's come2harvest.org. Or by way of sermonaudio.com. That's sermonaudio.com. All you have to do is to search for Harvest Christian Ministries. You can also listen to our daily devotionals. They're new, and they're really gaining popularity. They're called Seeds of Encouragement. You can get them by way of iTunes, from podcasting, or from Facebook. Either way, we want to inspire you on a daily basis. Have a great day in the Lord. I'm Dr. Tim Tooten, the pastor and founder of Harvest Christian Ministries in Baltimore County, Maryland. Be blessed.